I personally think we have way too many warnings. Severe thunderstorm warnings are a dime a dozen, and it's getting to be that way with tornado warning.
Welcome to Weather Brains, the podcast about weather by weather fans. I'm David Black with the Weather Company from Birmingham, Alabama, welcoming you to our first program. With me tonight, James Spann, the chief meteorologist of ABC 3340 Television in Birmingham, Alabama. Hello, James.
Hey, David, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. And this is exciting for me to have this special opportunity to share this podcast with you.
You know, we haven't worked together on the air in, what, 22 years?
Wow.
For those of you that don't know, David and I used to be the weather team at Channel 13, the NBC affiliate here in Birmingham, and we worked together until 1984, at which time I was transferred to Dallas. So this is 2006. That is 22 years, isn't it?
I'm really excited about this podcast, James, because I think it's going to give people a great opportunity to find out about so many aspects of the weather, how it affects our business, how it affects our lives.
Yeah, you know, I think we're going to find out in coming weeks where this whole thing evolves. And for those of you just listening for the first time, what we're going to try and do is do this show every Tuesday night. We'll have it posted by Wednesday morning, and of course it'll be available for direct download. You can listen to it on your computer. We'll have it available by RSS, which means you can automatically have it sent to your computer or iTunes and play it on your iPod or portable MP3 player or computer or whatever. And I'm excited about this, and it is true, we are all clustered here in Alabama, but many of us have connections all over the country. And the title of the podcast, David, is Weather Brains. And I think I can probably speak for most of us in our group. We're not necessarily the sharpest tools in the shed here, but we know people that are really smart, that are excellent meteorologists. And I think as this thing evolves, I'd like to bring in some of our experts involving tropical, severe thunderstorms, tornadoes, winter storms, and have them join us. And I think it's going to be a great way to share information and just talk about weather. And it's just going to be a fun show, and I'm looking forward to it. For those of you that don't know me, by the way, let me just say that I'm the chief meteorologist for the ABC 3340 station in Birmingham, the ABC affiliate here. And in addition, I do work with the Weather Company. That's the group you're hearing. And I've been doing radio and television weather since 1978. And I don't know how many years that is, and I don't even want to think about it.
And one thing I'm going to point out that you probably will not tell folks is this. If you live in the state of Alabama, you probably already know the name James Spann. If you're not an Alabama resident, his name may not be all that familiar to you, but for all the great numbers of people who rely on James for severe weather, he is a recognized and appreciated presence in the state, and he is a multiple winner of the Best Television Weather Anchor Award in Alabama.
And I ran out of money to pay off those guys, so I don't know if I'll win any more.
All right. Somebody else who's a part of the Weather Company who's with us tonight is Brian Peters.
Yeah, Brian, you there with us?
I'm here with you, James.
We didn't mean to wake you up.
No, I'm just listening. You keep talking about age and how long you've been doing something, and I retired from the National Weather Service with almost 36 years, and I've only been doing television for two, so I'm way behind the power curve when it comes to your experience.
Ah, yeah, rookie on the tube, but hey, this guy's good. Brian retired from the Weather Service a couple of years ago, and one of our first points of business was somehow to snatch this guy up into the private sector. So he is a meteorologist on staff here at ABC 3340 Television, and Brian is just a superb meteorologist. He's been involved in a lot of things, but Brian, hit some of your headlines of your career here, other than Colonel Sanders jokes.
Well, I hate to even talk about my career after that superb meteorologist. I'll probably bust all of my next 26 forecasts or something, James, after being described that way. I think probably looking back over my career in the National Weather Service, a lot of the high points had to do with severe weather, although I do have to puff my chest out in that I was one of 15 meteorologists who served on the Olympic weather support team during the 1996 Olympic Games in Atlanta, Georgia. And that was certainly a privilege and an honor to be part of that group. And I think what got me there was knowing a little bit about the wedge, and ended up having a wedge day in the Olympics. and really went out on a limb, forecast a high of only 81 in early August in Atlanta, which is just absolutely unheard of. And interestingly enough, I did bust the forecast. The high actually was 78. That wedge really, really got in there really well. And then I guess I have to say that probably the one of the next high points in my entire career has been since I've been with you, James, with 3340, and that is flying through Ivan four times and then meeting Ivan coming ashore on the ground reporting for 3340. So that was really a high point for a meteorologist who got interested in weather because of a hurricane to be able to fly through one as powerful and as awesome as Ivan was and then to welcome it ashore as well.
You know, I still think Brian is catching up on his sleep after Hurricane Ivan, David. I mean,
you know, James, something's kind of strange here. We've sent Brian Peters into hurricanes, all these disastrous weather situations, all these different times, but he keeps coming back. What's with that?
I mean, you know, he didn't talk with me for about 4 months, but now we're back on speaking terms again, so that's a good thing. But, you know, Brian's work was just superb. And if you go to the ABC 3340 website and look at the video section, we've got some of Brian's work during Ivan on there, and he just did a great job down there. And at the time, that was your first year in television, wasn't it?
It certainly was. I had only been with you for, let's see, February to September. What's that, about 7 months, I guess?
Yeah.
So that was very exciting, just adrenaline pumping. Didn't have the foggiest idea what I was doing, to be honest with you, James. I'm glad.
See, nobody ever knew. That's, you never let them know that you really don't know what you're doing. I don't think any of us in television know what we're doing. Most everybody here was trained in the science of meteorology and not in how to be a TV guy. I mean, my first major when I started college was electrical engineering, and then you wind up finishing in meteorology. You don't learn how to be some TV guy, so we just kind of fake it and get by.
And we do it well, yes.
We also want to bring in another very valued member of our team, and that is Bill Murray.
Bill Murray's on the line. Bill,
hey, guys, how y'all doing there? Good to talk to you.
Bill,
Murray is the wild card of this group. I mean, you never know if this guy is on some train in Walla Walla or, you know, dining in Baltimore. You know, I mean, where are you tonight, Bill?
Actually, at home, sitting in my leather overstuffed easy chair here, just enjoying being in Birmingham. So now, I think that's the beauty of the internet. You know, we can do this thing from anywhere, and I cannot wait to do it from an Amtrak train. That's my goal. When we pull that off, I'm going to know we have arrived.
And it's a rarity to have you in the Birmingham area, Bill.
It's nice to be home.
Bill, you are somebody who has a long and very interesting history as well as love of weather.
I tell you what, it's been my dream to get to...
Sounds like Bill's playing the harmonica, doesn't it? For those of you that don't know what's
weekend
going,
forecasting was from night to.
Yeah, for those of you that don't understand how we're doing this by Skype, and understand this is the first time we've done this podcast, and there's going to be some, bugs in it, and we'll get all the bugs worked out. But Skype is a voice over internet protocol application, VOIP. I cannot recall the last time we have all been in one room at the same time. Bill's kind of coming in and out there with his internet connection. That's going to happen, but it's a great way for us to do this. The quality is typically very good, and we can be in strange places, but we can all be together via the internet. So I don't know what's happening out there at Bill's place.
Hey there, buddy. You need to get some more modern equipment.
Bill's probably using one of those dial-up 12K modems from 1982 or something.
Yeah. Not Bill. He's the
I got one of those old modems from a telex machine. You know.
Yeah. How's that VIC-20 working there, Bill?
Exactly. I've got my Commodore 64 wired up here, and it's just doing great.
Well, Groupie's the only one with a sling box.
I tell you, I love riding the Amtrak, and I try to make my forecasting duties wherever, whenever I am, and I've done it several times from the Amtrak using a Sprint car connection, and I tell you what, that's so much fun to be going through the night in the middle of Virginia, coming home to Birmingham from Washington, and just be cranking out that forecast as you go. That's just great. I've done severe weather from cars. Airports, you name it. I've done it from sporting events, and because I think the great thing about the internet is it lets us continue with our lives doing whatever we do. We don't have to be tied down to a place or a time.
James, I've got something I wanted to ask you about. You know, you're on the news every night talking to audiences across the state, and you'd think being on the news that much, you have all this opportunity to convey so much information, but the bottom line is you really don't get much time to talk about weather with people, do you?
No, and you know, this is an example of how our business is changing like a meteor streaking through the night, David. When I started and when you started, you know, we worried about doing the weather on television for a few minutes at, you know, 5 and 10 o'clock, and that was it. And now we are totally moving away from the old model, instead of the broadcast concept. I believe we are in a post-broadcast world where people will get what they want on demand, any time they want it, whether it's the news or weather. And what we're having to learn is how to be on 24/7 with the internet. And you do that by this, you know, podcasting. And this is great because you're right, David. This will give us a forum to talk about stuff that I have a passion for in a longer form. You know, you get out there on television, you get 2 minutes and that's it. And even with our internet videos, you know, we're focused on either the map discussion that's kind of technical and that's about 5 minutes, or you're focused on the public product, which is, you know, 4 or 5 minutes. But this will kind of, you know, to me, this thing is for weather weenies. And there's a lot of weather weenies in the world. And I think we're going to have a lot of fun, and we all have opinions on things. We can get into, you know, some pretty controversial issues here, and I don't want this to be political. If you want to listen to a political podcast, there's a bunch of them out there. This is just going to be fun, and it's about weather. And there's a lot of really hot topics I want to jump on here. And we'll jump on current things that are happening and current weather events that are happening, too. And I, quite frankly, just looking at what I think will be, I think it's going to be a much, much colder month across much of the country. It's going to be a rude wake-up call for much of the country next month, and that's the kind of stuff I like to talk about. So it will give us an outlet to discuss current ongoing weather, events coming up in the near future, maybe some long-range thoughts. And I want to get some folks from the Storm Prediction Center on here with us. You know, Dan McCarthy or Jack Hales or some of those guys. Even some of the great retired legends in the business, you know, like a Chuck Doswell and some of the Hurricane guys. Dr. Keith Black, we'll love to have him on from Mobile. We want to be hearing from more and more of these folks as we go along. So the concept weather brains doesn't mean that we've got the brains. It means that we know people that have the big brains, and we're going to try and get them on here, and we're going to talk about it. And the other thing, too, if you want to ask us any questions, hey, you know, we're wide open here. The best way to do that initially is by email, and we're going to set up an email address with our weatherbrains.com domain. But for now, if you want to send us a question, just use weatherbrains@jamesspann.com, and my last name has two N's, J-A-M-E-S-S-P-A-N-N. So interaction, long form, this is just going to be too cool.
Something I wanted to ask you, James, you know, with the internet here, we have all of this information, including raw weather data, the model output available to us, something that was not really readily available before. How is that changing what you do on the air?
Well, you know, it changes, really, I think, the way we handle these television weathercasts. I mean, I know the really hardcore weather weenies, they know that stuff we're going to talk about. They're going to read it on our blog. In fact, you can pretty much read what I'm going to say on the blog well before I get on television. But I think it allows us to be a little more technical on the blog, and that's why I love the video discussion and things like that. And it's amazing how many folks know a lot about weather. Not everybody, but a lot, so... And really, I think this podcast is going to be for people that are kind of into weather, like all of us. Wouldn't you guys agree, Bill and Dave, Brian?
Yes.
Absolutely. I think this is a dream.
A great forum to talk to people about the things that they'd like to talk about, too.
I was going to say, you know, just to give you a topic idea, the Fujita scale. Is it time to rework this thing? And Brian here, Peters, is on some committee that's supposed to be reviewing that, aren't you, Brian?
Now, I was on a committee that reviewed it, and they came up with a revised Fujita scale, the enhanced Fujita scale, but that's a topic for another time.
Okay, see, that's the kind of stuff we need to talk about here. There's some really good stuff we can discuss.
Something I've wondered about, and I'm curious how you feel, James, is the criteria for issuing severe thunderstorm warnings. Do you think it should be changed?
That's a whole subject right there. That could take up three or four of these shows. I have very strong opinion on that, and probably we all do. And quite frankly, sometimes we disagree on things, and that's okay. I mean, I like surrounding myself with smart people. Yeah, severe thunderstorm criteria. I personally think we have way too many warnings, and we need to cut back on them. I think the FAR is too high, and severe thunderstorm warnings are a dime a dozen, and it's getting to be that way with tornado warnings. So that's the kind of stuff we'll talk about.
And I was on a committee that looked into changing severe thunderstorm criteria too, James.
See, Peters is on every committee in the universe. So anything, anytime we need to know something, Brian, I was on that committee. So, you know, he'll have a lot of good answers for us.
The committee failed miserably because we really did want to change the criteria. And amazingly enough, it was the emergency managers who were reluctant to change.
Wow.
Brian, you probably have a lot of perspective on what's going on behind the scenes in the National Weather Service, don't you?
Oh, I doubt that. I've been out for 2 years now, and it's...
Oh, but he knows all the good stuff.
Oh, yeah, right. It's changing rapidly in there, too, I'm afraid.
And I'd love to get some Weather Service people on here, people from NOAA, and just talk about that subject. I mean, where are we going with these public forecasts? I mean, you know, to me, it looks like the whole thing's getting automated.
Bingo.
You know, it seems like they're just kind of getting out of that business, and you know, where's the Weather Service going? We'll talk about that too. We already have enough subjects here to cover a whole year's worth of programs.
James, if folks want to contact us here at WeatherBrains to get us to answer a question or just give a comment, what address should they use?
And again, the email address is for now is weatherbrains@jamespan.com. We'll fix up some nice weatherbrains.com. Weatherbrain.com domains later, but for now that'll get it around to the group. I was going to ask Bill Murray. Bill, where are you going this weekend? You going to be in town? Or are you traveling? Bill's our weekend warrior. For those of you that are new to this, he does that dirty job that nobody else wants, and he writes every weekend forecast package and does the podcast on Saturday and Sunday, and that's why I love just checking him out to see where he is. I mean, where are you going to be this weekend, Bill?
Yeah, it's sort of like, where's Waldo, you know? Where's Bill today? This week I'll actually be going just to Atlanta on Thursday and be here for the weekend. So my travels really begin next week. I'll be on the road to Washington, Baltimore, and New Jersey next weekend. So,
now, Bill, you've got a day job, too, plus a background in weather.
Well, actually, I've been in the hotel business for 25 years, but I was factory designed to be a meteorologist. My grandmother facilitated that interest when I was a child. We lived in North Birmingham, and she was terribly frightened of storms, and so whenever a storm would come up, she had this crawl space under her house, and that's where we went every time there was a threat of severe weather. And so, you know, you really begin to appreciate, you know, what effect you have on your children and your grandchildren and stuff. You know, and she had a tremendous influence on me in making me fear weather. And till I was 12 years old, really to the night of the super outbreak in 1974, when 85 people died in Alabama and over 300 died across the country in 148 tornadoes. I really feared the weather. That night taught me not to fear it, to respect it, and I think that's what I try to communicate to everyone that I talk to. You don't have to fear the weather as long as you have a healthy respect for it and a little bit of understanding about how it behaves, because if you do, then you don't have to worry as much.
Tell us about the Weather Notebook.
Well, I tell you, I started when I was a young child collecting anecdotal weather information, mainly stuff that J.B. Elliott did on the NOAA Weather Radio here in Birmingham. I tell you, that was one of the greatest things that ever came to this town in 1976. I remember they started testing that thing, and I could not wait. I went down to Pizzitz and got me one of those first weather radios that came out, you know, about $39. And they're about the same price today that they were in 1976. And I just thought that was the greatest thing in the world, because before that, literally, we had literally no weather information. I mean, you had to rely on AM radio stations for the most part, and you know, didn't have the Weather Channel, didn't have the internet, didn't have the great television meteorology we have today, because James didn't get here until 1979. So, you know, we really had nothing, and I was very hungry for weather information. So, you know, I started collecting facts and historical information, built a big database, and had a lot of fun. 4 years ago now, I sent it off to a publisher in a format that you know, I thought they might like, and they gave me a 15-year contract to do weather calendars for them. So that's been a lot of fun. We put that up on our website for ABC 3340. We have the Weather Notebook there. You can even subscribe, you know, to a daily email that tells you what happened on this date, you know, 1846, and where this.
Now, Bill, you got to get in a plug for your calendars here. But what, what's your website address for the calendars?
WeatherCalendars.com. Nice and simple, easy to remember. We've got calendars all the way back to the first one in 2004. The 2007 one's already in the is already being published, and I'm writing the 2008 one right now. For that seems crazy, but
are you kidding me?
You know, it's funny because you know the Hurricane Katrina is not even in the 2006 calendar because it was already published by the time the hurricane occurred in August.
Wow. And by the way, for those of you that don't know us, the one thing that I have in common with Murray, we have the same. We're in the same club. It's the Hair Club for Men.
There's a shine that I'm seeing off of you guys.
Isn't it nice having David Black as a professional host here? You know, we're all a bunch of loose cannons. Have a David in here. You got this professional broadcaster. He keeps order, and I really like this.
Yeah, he keeps us grounded, that's for sure.
Now, another member of our team is somebody whose name is probably not going to be that familiar to most folks, and you probably wouldn't know his face because he's never on television. But I'll tell you what, if you've ever wanted to know what was happening when severe weather was threatening us, I'll bet you know his voice, J.B. Elliott.
Well, you know, every weather market has like a legend. When I went to Dallas in the mid-80s, I lived in Alabama all my life, and I immediately learned that the weather legend in Dallas-Fort Worth was a guy named Harold Taft. Harold was did the weather on KXAS Channel 5 for a long, long time. In fact, I competed against Harold when I was there in the 80s. Troy Dungan was on 8, I was on 4, and Harold was the guy on 5. And if you go to Tampa, a guy named Roy Leap, was a legend down there. I guess in Chicago, you got Tom Skilling. What's this guy making now? I saw a thing where he re-signed a contract for, was it $1.9 million a year? I mean, I need to find out who Tom's agent is. But anyway, in Birmingham, the weather legend is J.B. Elliott. It's a little different in that JB really did not get involved in the media until after he retired from the Weather Service. We kind of like Brian, we snatched him up just right away. And JB's with us, been with us since the early 90s. I forget exactly how long, but I think he is a mentor to most of us that grew up here, like me and Bill Murray and you, David, and the others on here. And
I'm here.
Oh yeah. JB, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine.
Hey, JB.
How's Miss Molly?
Miss Molly heard David's little 3-pound dog barking earlier tonight, and she went wild trying to figure out where the barking was coming from.
Now, for those of you that don't know, that don't read our material online, JB writes a little blurb about his dog every day called My Little Corner of the World, and that little paragraph has developed a cult following. I mean, the days that he's off and I have to fill in for him, you get all this hate mail because I don't have a story about Miss Molly. So for those of you that don't know, that's let me just say this. You can read JB's writing and what we write on our blog. If you go to abc3340.com, go to weather, and then just click on blog. You can read it there. And also, JB writes a 7-day package in the afternoon, which is under 7-day forecast and discussion. So I figure we have some first-time listeners here that are not used to our writing, but I think most people are. So, JB, it's good to have you.
I'm glad to be here. I'm anxious to hear the program when it's finished.
By the way, but before we get too deep into this, I got my bulletin of the American Meteorological Society today. This is the January 2006 version. I get it here at the 1st of February. I don't know what that means. Probably the last one to get it, but I couldn't help this little article. In fact, there's pretty interesting stuff in here. The front page article is reforecasting, improving skill using retrospective forecast. I want to look at that, but I don't know if you guys got yours today, but I thought this was interesting. This little article here about this little problem that was going on down in Louisiana called the nutria. They have an infestation, which is a South American rodent that is rapidly destroying Gulf Coast wetlands. I've never heard of one of these things. Have you guys ever heard of the nutria?
I sure have. I read a story last year on it.
Yeah. It says...
I think I dated one in college once.
Is that right? What was fascinating, it says here that before Katrina... Apparently Katrina helped really kill a lot of these things, but before Katrina, the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, they were heading up a program to reduce the rodents. They were offering trappers $4 for every nutria tail. And they also highlighted the virtues of nutria fur, and they circulated recipes for nutria meat. Now,
well, I actually went to a restaurant in Jackson, Louisiana, down there near St. Francisville, James, and a fine restaurant called, I think, Bear's Corners, and they actually had Nutri on the menu.
So what it tastes like,
it was
chicken?
Time for me to leave. Yeah. Exactly.
Chicken.
I was afraid to try.
Well, anyway, I thought that was interesting. But, JB, tell us just about your weather service career, and for those people that don't know you and all that kind of good stuff, kind of bring us up to date on where you've been.
I spent my entire 32-year career at the National Weather Service Birmingham back when I signed on in 1957 on an April morning. It was known as the U.S. Weather Bureau, of course, and the morning I signed on, I was supposed to spend the first day getting acquainted with the office. I was already acquainted with the office because I'd hung out there a long time, and there was a tornado on the ground in the Red Mills community north of Jasper, and four people were killed as I walked in to go on duty at 8 o'clock. So the first day, I did not get to do any paperwork to finish my employment papers. Instead, I got pressed into phone duty all day, so it was one of the busiest days that I ever had on my very first day. And I spent the entire 32 years there. We were at the airport at the time, and later we moved to 11 West Oxmoor Road in Homewood, and of course the Weather Service later moved down to the Shelby County Airport.
And you've been with, so you retired, JB, in the early 90s. What year did you retire?
1989.
89, okay. We started a weather fax in the early 90s, right before the blizzard of 93. And Brian, when did you come to the Birmingham Weather Service?
2 weeks or so before JB retired.
Wow. So you guys crossed paths for 2 weeks, huh?
Yes. That was my loss.
Hmm.
Well, mine too, but I don't believe we actually worked a shift together. I think I was on a 4 to midnight shift or something, and you were on days during those 2 weeks.
I think you're right, JB.
But JB is just a walking encyclopedia of weather knowledge, and I love to hear his stories of big events that he worked while at the WSFO here in Birmingham, like the super outbreak of 1974 and some of the big events like that. So I think, David, somewhat we're going to do is kind of go back and talk with Brian and JB about their famous storms that they worked with the I have never worked in the government, and you haven't either, but these guys have had a long background. I'd love to hear their stories about that sometime.
Oh, I'm sure they'll have a lot of interesting tales to share. We've got just a few minutes left, James. Do you want to say anything about upcoming weather expected in the southeast U.S. or the rest of the country?
Well, you know, it's just funny. While we are on the show here, we've got this instant message conference, and that you got meteorologists from different stations around the southeast United States. And let me say this. I don't want this to be really intensely focused all the time on southeast weather, but by the nature that we are here, we do talk about it. It's kind of like if you listen to any of the tech podcasts, most of those guys are in San Francisco and out west, and they talk a lot about things there. And by nature of us being in Tornado Alley and all these things happen, we'll talk a good bit about weather here, but other weather across the country. But while we're even doing the show, the OZ NAM is coming in. And I don't know if you guys looked at this. This is the 84-hour panel, the new run here, and it's got a banding-type thing with some potential for snow across North Alabama Saturday morning. Looking at the 84-hour output, which is valid Saturday morning at 6 o'clock, it's got a 996 millibar low at Asheville, North Carolina, with the 540 line along Interstate 65, and heavy precipitation way back behind that into North Alabama and North Mississippi. So all the snow fans got to like that. I'm sure not going to do a good roll with the snow forecast or anything, but I think that's a sign that the times, they are a-changing. Brian can sing Bob Dylan, can't you, Brian?
No, I can't sing at all.
But, yeah, it's going to be a fascinating. I cannot remember a storm in recent memory where there's been such flip-flopping with these models. And I'm talking the same one. You get one run of the GFS, and then 6 hours later, the next one radically different on this thing. But the NAM has been pretty consistent, and it sure wants to develop a pretty intense surface cyclone. So, the SPC guys have a risk of severe thunderstorms in their new experimental day 4 through 8 outlook for Friday, Saturday, all the way from Louisiana and Arkansas to the Atlantic coast for this surface cyclone. I'm not convinced it can happen. It might happen here. That would be Friday afternoon or Friday night. But I think the most interesting part of this is the cold change. No doubt it's going to get cold this weekend. The question is how cold, and will there be snow on the backside of that surface low? If you were to take this thing on face value, and again, all I'm doing is glancing at it, it sure looks like our friends in the Tennessee Valley will have to consider mentioning snow, if not, maybe flurries, and certainly flurries down here, and we'll review it as it gets closer. What do you guys think?
Yeah, looks ahead, to me like it could be some light accumulation with that latest model you just mentioned. I'm looking at it, too, especially up around Decatur, Huntsville, and maybe over to Bridgeport.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this thing is spitting out, 1 inch of liquid back over eastern Tennessee and the Tennessee Valley. But how many times have we been burned on these kind of things? And you guys know that. And it was the one thing I've learned, and I guess it's kind of sad in recent years, no matter if we're right or wrong on a winter storm call, you're going to get hate mail. So at least you just know it's coming, but the goal is to be right and not wrong. Brian, what do you think?
Well, I was going to say, James, that the last few systems since the 1st of January, we've had moderate or slight risks, and they just haven't come about. And this one seems to be a little bit different in that we haven't had a really strong cold front that's going to have come blasted through that's going to keep the Gulf cut off. So this may be the time that we do see a reasonably good risk of severe weather.
Yeah, it's interesting. You got this lead disturbance coming through here Thursday, and then you've got the main one coming in here Friday afternoon and Friday night. So, yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how this thing plays out. I would not be shocked if we had a strong storm late Friday, and I would not be shocked if we had snowflakes in North Alabama at some point on Saturday. But I'll guarantee it's going to be much colder this weekend, David.
Okay, James, is that it?
Yep, that's it. And again, I appreciate your time, David, and I appreciate you being the host of this because you add a little bit of class to this group of roughnecks here.
Well, I don't know about that, but it's a lot of fun working with you guys. James, once again, what would the email address be for folks who would like to contact us?
Yeah, let me just say this. The weatherbrains.com is going to be our website address. You know what? Let me be sure that's right. Weatherbrains.com. Yeah, it's weather. I'm trying to see if it's plural or not here.
It's plural.
Yeah, it is plural. I typed in weatherbrians.com. No wonder it wasn't working.
See, there's your problem right there.
Like scatterbrains. Yeah.
That's it, weatherbrains.com, plural. That's the website address. And if you want to do an email question this week, we'll address on the show next week. And again, we'll try and have these things posted to the website and by RSS by Wednesday morning. David's got the hard job of cutting out, the bad spots and stuff like that. But if you want to send us an email, it's weatherbrains@jamesspan.com. Just one James Spann, two weatherbrains. weatherbrains@jamesspan.com.
All right, guys, thanks again. We've had a great first show, and I'm looking forward to the next one. Once again, if you'd like to contact us, our email address is weatherbrains@jamesspan.com. On behalf of Brian Peters, Bill Murray, J.B. Elliott, and James Spann, I'm David Black. Weather Brains is copyright 2006 by The Weather Company. All rights reserved.